Hey, this is Leo for Actualize.org. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about the enlightened self, otherwise known as the true self, to give you a really accurate description of your existential nature. This is an advanced episode that's intended to help those people who are already on the path towards enlightenment and are doing self-inquiry work. And I want to use the information that I want to give you here for you to cut through all the crap when you're doing self-inquiry and get right to the root and find yourself as quickly as humanly possible. Because it's very easy to waste years and decades of your life searching for yourself somewhere out there and be totally lost in fantasies and delusions of grandeur and all sorts of mystical concepts of what you actually are. And in giving you these tips, you're going to develop a much stronger conceptual framework of how to do enlightenment work. And this conceptual framework, even though it is just conceptual, and we know the danger of concepts, it's still very important, because if you have a weak or misguided conceptual framework when you're on this spiritual journey, you're going to fail miserably. And you're going to get lost in many cul-de-sacs and traps, and you're going to waste a lot of your time and a lot of your energy, and you're going to become very, very frustrated. So let's cut right to the chase. So just as a quick little introduction to ground our conversation, what are we really talking about here about this thing called existential nature? What do you mean by existential nature, Leo? Well, basically, I'm talking about what are you actually, existentially? What are you? To most people, this question doesn't even become relevant until they've gone quite far down the personal development journey. Because the answer to that question is, of course, I'm me. I mean, Leo, who else could I be? I mean, I'm this thing right here. I'm standing here. I'm sitting here. I'm listening to you. What else am I? What else could I be? So what this is called identification with the body and the mind. If I ask you, who do you believe you actually are? You would say, I am this body and this mind called Leo, and I live in this body, and when this body's gonna die, and this mind is, and this brain is going to stop functioning, then that's the end of Leo. And that's what I am. And I was born that way, and I'm going to die that way. Now, that's one possibility. Another possibility is that actually you're not a human being. The first possibility was basically you being a human being. The other possibility is that you're not a human being. You're just a story. That thing you think you are, that I'm pointing to right now, that's occupying space, physical space in that body, that's living inside the skull, that thinks it's like the ghost in the machine, the one that's perceiving all of reality, that thing, including the body that it thinks it owns, what if that was just a story? What if that was a belief that was fed into your knowledge graph from such a young age that you never questioned it? You were literally indoctrinated with it. To such a degree that you can't even fathom the possibility of it being false. That's a second possibility. Now, what I would suggest to you as an empirical statement, an empirical claim, a fact, is that you can actually demonstrate that this second option is true and that the first one is false. So what you are is you're actually not a human being. That's something you falsely identified yourself with, in the same sense that imagine that an insane person, instead of believing that he was his body, he believed that he was the coffee table. For whatever silly reason, he really believed, like, no, I'm the coffee table. Don't hurt my coffee table, you're going to hurt me. If that coffee table is destroyed, I'm going to die. Seems kind of silly, you know, why would he do that? Well, you could just imagine something's wrong in his mind, right? He's very confused. Very confused. He thinks he's a coffee table. The man who thought he was a coffee table. That could be like the title of a book. Just a little thought experiment for you, right? So if we came up to that person, we said, hey, man, you're not a coffee table. Dude, you're the body. maybe, you know, with enough talking to him about it, we can convince him that actually he's not the coffee table. Well, what's possible is to have that same kind of discussion with you, you who thinks that they are the body, and to eventually have you come to the realization that you're not the body and you're not the mind and that you're something else. And that you are as much the body and the mind as you are your coffee table. Literally. I'm not just being hyperbolic here. I'm not just being poetic. I mean it literally. You are your body as much as you are the coffee table that's in your house. How is that possible? Well, go check out some of my spiritual enlightenment videos. I have some more introductory videos that talk about all this stuff. This video is more advanced. It's just for the people who are already on board with me here, and now they need some tips for how to really go far with their self-inquiry. So if you did watch my earlier introductory videos, which explain this stuff in a lot of depth for you newbies, then what you've heard is you've heard me talk about the no self. This idea that this self, this personal self that I think that I am, this Leo, this entity called Leo, where is this entity? Well, the no self concept tells you that the self doesn't really exist. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a Leo. It's not real. It's an illusion. That's what no self means. But it's very easy to misinterpret what no self means, even for people who have been doing self-inquiry for a long time. So what I want to do here is I want to clear up this misconception. What does no self really mean? Well, this is a concept that comes from Buddhism. In Buddhism, they call it anatta. Anatta. This is the no self. It's important to get this subtle point clear here. When I say no self, I don't mean that there is no self at all, that you don't exist. That's not really what I mean. Sometimes it comes off that way. What I really mean is that the personal separate self that you think you are, this ego, the thing that has a name, this thing we call Leo or whatever your name is, that thing is an illusion. But there is still a self, which is radically different from this self that you currently think you are, which is not the body, not the mind, and not some kind of ghost, but something very, very different. This is called, in various books and traditions, they call it by different names. They call it the true self, the higher self versus the lower self. So there's this kind of distinction that's made, you know, false versus true self, lower self versus higher self. They make a distinction in the Hindu traditions of Atman and Brahman. They make a distinction also sometimes of like the small self and the big self. They also make the distinction sometimes of the self spelled with a lowercase s and then the self spelled with a capital case s, like the big self. So what we're going to talk about here is we're going to talk about not so much the little self. The little self is an illusion that you can break. But then when you break that illusion, you get to the true self, the higher self. What is really that? Because that's actually what you are. That's your existential nature. The trick, though, is that it's very difficult to talk about this because this thing is so paradoxical and so counterintuitive and cannot be grasped by the mind. So we are going to make our best attempt. You, in fact, do exist. You exist not as a human being and not as a personal entity, but you exist as nothingness. You might think, like, well, if I exist as nothingness, that means I don't exist. No. This is a radical thing I'm asking you to consider. Consider and imagine the following, that you, in fact, do exist, but you exist as nothingness. Now, you might say, well, Leo, nothingness doesn't exist. No, consider the possibility that nothingness does exist. Not only does it exist, it's the only permanent thing that exists. Has it ever occurred to you that everything in your surroundings is changing? All the sensations and phenomena and experiences of life are always constantly changing. Colors are changing, sounds are changing, feelings, emotions, thoughts are changing all the time. Even your body is changing. Your body is not what it was 10 or 20 years ago. So if everything is changing, you got to wonder, what's the only thing that doesn't change? Is there such a thing? Turns out that there is, although it's not a thing. It's not a thing. Nothingness. Not a thing. Kind of mind-bending. I'm going to continue talking about it as we go on here, and I'm going to give you some really clinical descriptions of what this nothingness really is, this true self. But before we go there, I just want to give you a little practical tip about how you're doing your self-inquiry. So hopefully you have a habit of doing self-inquiry every day or every other day, whatever way you're doing it. Self-inquiry can also sometimes be called self-observation. I sometimes refer to it as consciousness work, enlightenment work. All these terms are synonymous in my mind. Even meditation, although meditation is different a little bit from self-inquiry, it could still be classified as part of this process. So when you're doing any of this self-inquiry work, if you're hung up on this idea that there is no self and that the self doesn't exist, you might be sitting down and trying to prove that the self doesn't exist. That can be helpful, but what I would suggest to you is if you've been doing that for a while, for a few months, stop doing that. Instead, drop this whole notion of no self, that you don't exist, and now start looking for the true self. So your attitude should be, okay, I exist. I'm just not clear as to what I actually am. What am I? If I'm not the human body, or the mind, or any of the sensations that I'm experiencing, what could I then be? And then investigate that question really deeply and really self-honestly. What could I really be? If I'm mistaken that I'm the human body, could it be possible that you're just mistaken? Just like that man who identified himself with the coffee table, he was just mistaken. Could it be possible that you're equally mistaken? Now, this doesn't mean that you don't exist. It simply means that you could be something radically different than you presently think you are. This requires radical open-mindedness. Because as it turns out, the thing that you actually are, the true self, is so different from anything you've ever experienced in life that you just simply assume it's not possible. It would never even occur to you in a million years that this could be possible. So your job is to sit down and start to look. And my job is to help to kind of convince you that there's something worth looking for. So let's talk now about what this something is. I want to give you a description of the true self. Now, this is a dangerous thing to do because once I describe the true self, your mind is now going to have more ideas and concepts and fantasies about what you are. And this can distract you and can get you really lost, because what you're going to try to do is you're going to try to go find that thing that I told you about, when actually that thing I told you about is just an image in your mind and not the thing you're really seeking. So you got to be very careful there. But the reason I think that there's value in talking about this, you know, some teachers don't even talk about this. It's really difficult to get in really enlightened teachers to even talk about this stuff, because in their mind, it's just going to confuse you. But I think that it's worth talking about because, firstly, it can get you motivated to do this seeking, which is important. A lot of you lack the motivation. Secondly, I think there's a greater danger of not talking about it. Because if I don't at least give you some hints as to what the true self is, you're going to be so clueless that when you get on this journey, even if you decide to get on this journey, you're going to sit down and do that self-inquiry work. And what you're going to discover is that you have all these fantasies about what this true self could possibly be. And they're going to be so wrong. Just so wrong, not even in the same ballpark of where you should be looking, that you're going to spend the next decade or two of your life chasing your tail around in circles, and you're not going to make any real serious progress. And there are many people in spiritual practices that do just this. So I want to help you to minimize that. Now, does this mean you're still not going to get lost? No, you're still going to get lost. You're going to get lost in lots of concepts. But hopefully we can reduce that being lost from a couple of decades to just a couple of years, which will be a big savings for you. So here we go. What is the true self? This is the best description that I've found, and I've studied many different descriptions from many different traditions. For me, this one's been the most helpful. I think it's the most practical and the most useful because it gives you something to help you ground your self-inquiry work. The true self is pure, transparent, empty awareness. Pure, transparent, empty awareness. This is what you are existentially. You are not a human being. You are not software in the mind. You are not neuron activity. You are not made of atoms. What you actually are is this empty awareness. There are many different terms that are synonymous with empty awareness. Consciousness is another term we can use here that's identical to it. Another way people describe it is presence. Presence. And a really popular term is spirit. That's where we get the word spiritual. Spirit is an interesting word because spirit derives from the old ancient languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew languages. And what it means in those languages is, this is a definition, is it means either breath, air, or wind. And this is what you actually are. You are not an object. You are not a thing. What you are is you're sort of like empty space. Empty space is what allows stuff to exist in the first place. You need empty space so that stuff can occupy it. And then all the stuff that occupies this empty space, that's the stuff we know, everyday stuff, you know, trees, tables, cars, people, so on and so forth. Colors, sensations, emotions, there's a lot of different stuff, both kind of rock solid material stuff, you know, like a car, it's a physical object, but also we have immaterial objects such as an emotion or a thought. These are still kind of objects and they're occurring within space. But actually, it's even more radical than this. They're not just occurring within space. They're occurring within awareness. They're occurring within you. What you are is not something that's inside of space. You are what contains space and time and everything else. You are sort of the container. That's what we mean by pure, transparent, empty awareness. There are many interesting features to this awareness that are super counterintuitive and very mind-boggling and, quite frankly, unbelievable. It sounds like science fiction. It sounds like hocus-pocus religious stuff. But let me assure you that it's not. It's something you can become directly conscious of. This awareness that you are is a really interesting thing. It's transparent and it's empty. In the same way, here's a really good analogy, is if you take a cup, like a mug, you know, coffee cup, and instead of defining the cup as the object, the matter that it's made up of, let's say we define the cup as the gap between the walls of the cup. That's really the essence of a cup. The essence of a cup is to hold liquid. Now, to do that, it has to have this kind of like emptiness to it. Well, the essence of awareness is to hold experience and all of reality. Everything you experience is experienced within this empty awareness. There needs to be a space for it to occur in, so to speak. Space is not identical to awareness, but it gives you a little taste of it. So what I'm actually talking about here is, imagine that one day you woke up and instead of believing that you're the human body that you presently think you are, you just realize one day, like, oh, I am actually space itself. Think about how mind-blowing of a paradigm shift that would be for you. Your whole world would be turned upside down. Imagine that right now. You're not the body, but you're just empty physical space. How can this be? That's so weird. And yet, as weird as that is, the reality is even weirder. You're not actually empty space. You're emptier than empty space. You are nothing. Zero. Absolute zero. That's what reality is composed of. That's the source of reality. This absolute zero is a very tricky thing. Very, very tricky. And I want to explain some of the features of this absolute zero. You know, one thing that really sticks in my mind is I was at a consciousness retreat about a year ago during the summer. And I had the good fortune of sitting across from a man who just became enlightened. He became enlightened right there. Not in front of my eyes, but he became enlightened like a couple hours before. And so the enlightenment was still fresh for him. And so he was sitting there, and I was his partner. And what we were doing a formal exercise. His job was to communicate to me what enlightenment is from his direct experience now that he experienced it. So this was not just a formal chit-chat that I was having with him. I was sitting there, and I was sitting there for several hours throughout the course of this workshop, listening to him explain this. And some of his descriptions were really haunting and beautiful and profound, and also helped me personally to ground myself in this work, because until I heard some of his descriptions, I was kind of all over the place, and I had all these fantastical ideas about the no self and nothingness and this and this and that, which are all nonsense. But his descriptions were really helpful for me. So here's some of the stuff he told me. And his instruction was to actually close his eyes and to feel and to become aware, to get into like direct contact right now with what he actually is. And then to just report it to me as scientifically and clinically as he could. And this guy was really good with language. He was really precise. So some of the stuff he told me went like this. He would close his eyes, he would go inside, and he would spend 30 seconds getting a sense of himself, and then he would open his eyes and he would say, "I am pure presence. Just this rock solid presence. This empty, transparent presence. This eternal presence. It's just there." I get this image in my mind of a giant, heavy, black bowling ball. This rock-solid object. And this presence that I am is like that. It's more solid than a granite black bowling ball. You can't shake it. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. It's just there. It's so empty, it doesn't draw any attention to itself. All the attention goes to the stuff that's occurring within it. All the sensations and experiences that I'm having, these are all grounded and rooted in my presence, this rock-solid presence. It's completely unshakable. And he just went on and on with these kinds of descriptions, which was really amazing. One of the most poignant things I remember him telling me was this point about what this awareness is and what it's designed to do. Is it's designed to shine light, so to speak, metaphorically. This is just metaphor. to shine light on everything else. This presence is so humble that it just quietly sits in the background and it reveals everything else except itself. And therefore, it's kind of hidden and it goes unnoticed. It's not really hidden, but it appears to be hidden. Because think about this, to actually become aware of something, you kind of have to shine the light of awareness on it. In the same way that if you have a flashlight, you take a flashlight in the dark and you shine it on an object, that object becomes visible. But the flashlight itself, it's difficult to get the flashlight itself to shine light on itself. Because that's really not its function. Its function is to just give itself completely away to the surrounding environment. So if we ever ask ourselves, what is the flashlight really? I want to get a good look at a flashlight in the dark. How would we do that? That would be difficult because most flashlights are not flexible enough to turn in on themselves. See? And this is really what's going on when you're looking in the self-inquiry process, when you're looking for your true self, is you're like that flashlight that's trying to look in on itself. But you can't because you're too rigid. See? The mind is not flexible enough to be able to be aware of awareness. Awareness has to become aware of awareness. And what is this awareness? This awareness is complete nothingness. It's zero. It's just a blank. It's blanker than a blank. How do you become aware of a blank, of zero? How do you become aware of something that's transparent and empty and has no form and no shape and no location? Now you start to appreciate the difficulty of what we're doing here with self-inquiry. We're being asked to do something that almost seems impossible. To the rational mind, this is impossible. Yet, there's something outside the rational mind, namely nothingness, which can do it. I think the most profound thing that I've ever learned in all of my life is that nothingness exists. And I haven't actually directly experienced this yet, but I learned that at least there's the possibility, my mind is open to the possibility that nothingness can exist. It's not the case that nothingness doesn't exist, it's the case that nothingness does. In fact, you might say it's the only thing that truly exists. It's the thing that grounds somethingness. Somethingness is grounded in nothingness. This nothingness is identical to this transparent awareness that I've been talking about. Now, what are some features of this awareness? It has no shape. It has no form. It has no physical location. It has no dimensional component within time. It's eternal. It doesn't change. It doesn't move. It doesn't get destroyed or created. That's what eternal means. It's outside of time. Time occurs within it. It's also infinite, which means that not only is it nothing, it's everything. The nothingness is so total and complete that nothingness goes full circle and flips back around into everythingness. And that's the paradox of enlightenment. And that's why the mind can't grasp this stuff. Because this stuff is literally ungraspable to the human mind. The analogy I like to use is think of space-time. You know, Einstein came up with space-time, and he said that really we're living in a four-dimensional universe, and we have the you know XYZ dimensions, but then also we have dimension of time, so space-time. And then gravity warps this space-time. That's what general relativity tells us. And that every object that has mass creates sort of a depression, a dip in the fabric of space-time. And then what they discovered, astrophysicists, as they started studying the, you know, the outer reaches of the universe, they discovered stuff called black holes. And then black holes, what is that? That's just an object that's so supermassive that it creates this dip in the fabric of space-time that's so deep that ultimately it tears a hole, a singularity, a little tiny hole, completely through the fabric. And we don't even know what the hell goes on inside of it. Lots of speculation and theories, but we've never really been able to verify through experiments yet what's inside. And where does it lead? And how does it even work? How is it even possible? Seems completely absurd that you could have a rip or a hole in space-time. And yet, that's what black holes are. This is almost analogous to what you are, existentially. You are like that black hole. Because if you sit down and start to question what is existence, what is non-existence, eventually what starts to happen is that the rational mind and all your thoughts about existence and non-existence, they just sort of crumble in on themselves. Truth crumbles in on itself. It just to such a degree that just like a hole is torn through your psyche. And this hole leads to nothingness. And it also leads to infinity. It leads to the source of all reality, which is mind-blowingly beautiful and profound. If you have enough courage to open your mind to this, because the ego is very frightened by this possibility. Very, very frightened. So this nothingness is what you are. I've personally experienced this awareness. It's kind of like a field of awareness. To me, it's almost like when I experienced it, when I had my little short enlightenment experience, it felt like the entire world is encased in glass. And I am the glass that the whole world is encased in. It's like omnipresence. You feel omnipresent. You feel like God. Not in the sense that you can see what other people see. You can't see through other people's eyes. So don't get that illusion. All you see is what's in front of you right now. And you recognize that that's all there is. There's nothing else but what's in front of you right now. But also you recognize that you're not really the things that are being seen. You're this empty vacuum within which all this stuff is occurring. And this vacuum, it's not like this dead, lifeless vacuum. It feels like this bright, alive vacuum. It feels like a vacuum that's just like, I like to describe it as a three-dimensional camera. You know, a traditional camera has a point and a cone that kind of shoots out, kind of looks like a pyramid. And that's kind of how we think we are. We think like we're this cone looking out into the world. Actually, what you discover is that you're not a cone at all. What you are is your an infinite field. Imagine a camera sensor. I don't know how this could be possible, but imagine someone created a camera sensor that's not just like this flat piece of chip on which the image is rendered, but it exists in all three dimensions, and it's infinitely large. That's what you are. And of course, it has no shape, has no location, has no color, has no feelings, has no emotions. It cannot be sensed. You cannot even experience it, because experience presumes an experiencer, and there really isn't one. Or you could say the experiencer is this awareness, but this awareness is not an object, see? Not only can you not see it or feel it or sense it, you can't even think about it. And this is where the danger comes in, because everything I'm telling you is just thoughts and ideas. Just beliefs. But you cannot think of nothingness. Try thinking of nothingness. Anything you think of is not it. All your ideas of nothingness are not nothingness. See? This is why it's so slippery and so difficult. What's also weird about this whole thing is that this self, this empty field of awareness, it's not separate from objects. So the way I've been describing up to now, it seems kind of like, well, okay, so there's this kind of like transparent field within which everything is happening. Yes, in a sense, but also in another sense, it's not separate. This field is not separate from what you're currently experiencing and all the objects that you know and love. Right now, as you're sitting here listening to me, these sounds that you're hearing, and if you're looking at me, or if you're looking at objects around you in the world, all of that right there is happening within nothingness. It's encased in this infinite field of nothingness, this pure empty awareness. And if you want, you can train your mind to actually focus in on that with the eventual conclusion that you will actually break through and you will become aware of awareness itself. Right now in your life, unless you've had an enlightenment experience, awareness has never become aware of itself yet. Right now, awareness thinks that it's a human body living inside the skull of this thing you call you. But imagine that's not the case. Imagine that you're not a thing. That's the hardest part about this whole thing, is that you're not a thing. And our minds can only work with things. Have you noticed that? Nothing that you've ever thought of in your entire life or experienced has not been a thing. Cars, trees, people are all things. But even ideas, mathematical ideas, philosophical ideas, colors, sounds, tastes, these we can also call things. They're just more like immaterial. They're more like ethereal things. They're still things. And your mind can deal with abstract, ethereal things. What your mind can't deal with is nothing. Can't do it. Not possible. Which is why it's not possible to think your way into enlightenment. And which is why it's not possible to conceptualize enlightenment. You cannot get a mental preview of enlightenment. Not really. You can just get stories and ideas and fantasies, and all of them are ultimately false. And you have to be wise enough to intuit that. You have to be so wise not to get trapped up in all this conceptualizing business. So wise. You have to read between the lines very, very, every move you make, every thought you have is just there to trick you because it's not what you're looking for. It's not nothingness. So how do you find yourself? Well, the paradoxical thing is that you're not hidden. One big trap that I fell into, and I still fall into as I do self-inquiry, I'm continuing to do this process, you try to look for yourself as some kind of hidden thing. It's like, well, where is this nothing? Let me find this nothingness. It's kind of like you're looking for an Easter egg. It's like, what is this nothingness? Let me go find it. Or like, maybe I'm this energy. I'm like a ball of energy. Or I'm like a field of energy. Maybe I'm this like thing that lives inside my head. Let me go find it. Let me look inside. Where am I? Am I this? Am I that? Am I located in space? If I'm not in the skull, maybe I'm in the chest, or maybe I'm in the throat, or maybe I am out there somewhere. Somewhere right here in front of me. Maybe I'm here. You play this game for a long, long time. And the problem is you can't win this game. You'll never find yourself because you're not located anywhere. The human mind is addicted to objects, and it's addicted to space and visual imagery. So whenever we talk about something, you have an image of it. You think it has a location, a shape. You give it some kind of shape, even if we're talking about something abstract. I can talk about the number two. And the only way you can make sense of the number two is because you have some kind of mental image of what two means to you. Maybe you have an image of two dots or image of a number two like this or something like that. Two cats, whatever, you somehow represent the number two in a in a very tangible way in your mind. It's like an image. It's an idea. But see, this doesn't fly with enlightenment. You can't do this with enlightenment. You can't. Any idea you have of enlightenment isn't it. How do you get to it? Quite challenging. The only way is through some kind of process like self-inquiry or some really deep meditation work. So that's my description of the true self. That's what you are. Be careful not to take this dogmatically. Be careful not to turn this into just another belief. It does no good for you to believe me. It does no good for you to go and tell your friends about all this, or your parents. It does no good to sit down and tell yourself, oh, now I know what I am. Somehow this idea that I'm nothingness is now going to help my life. It doesn't help you at all. In fact, now what I've done is I've introduced to you a potential trap that you can fall into, which is thinking that you know what you are. So what do you do about all this? Well, step number one is you must do the work. All this conversation is pointless. You have to sit down and do the self-inquiry work. So commit to doing that. Develop a habit, maybe once every day. For 30 to 60 minutes, you sit down, you do this. That's what I do. You could do it for longer. Maybe carve out a whole week where you sit down for 8 hours a day and do nothing but this, if you're really serious. Right? So stick to that habit. And just keep in mind that what I told you here was designed to help eliminate cul-de-sacs and dead ends in your self-inquiry. So let me quickly recap the dead ends that I want you to avoid. Firstly, stop looking for objects. You are not an object. You will not find yourself as an object. Any idea you have of an object, you will not find that. That's not you. So get that out of your mind right now. Secondly, stop trying to see or feel yourself. You cannot see or feel yourself. Stop trying to experience yourself. You cannot experience yourself because you are not an experience. You are the thing within which experience occurs. That'll save you a lot of time if you can do that. Thirdly, stop trying to locate yourself. Am I here? Am I in here? Am I here? Am I out there somewhere? That's all spatial thinking. That's mind activity. Recognize it for what it is. And remember that that's not what you are. You are not located. You are the thing that allows location to even be a possibility. A location really occurs within you, so to speak. Fourthly, open yourself to the possibility that you're not a human being. For me personally, this was very important. And in fact, when I had my enlightenment experience, this is one of the things that broke me through, is that I actually had this kind of little epiphany moment come up and I recognized, like, wait a minute, this whole idea that I'm a human being, who told me so? Why do I believe that? It's just a stupid belief. It's just a story. Story that's been fed into my mind by my parents and by everybody else around me in life. And it never occurred to me even to question it. Why would I be a human being? Why? Like, why would I even think that? It's stupid. It's really stupid. If you sit down and look at it, it's really fucking stupid. You're not a human being. You're reality itself. So it helps to sit down and really think about that to generate a lot of doubt. Because as long as you're fully identified with this human body here, man, you can't do a proper self-inquiry. You're so stuck with this identification that nothing you consider is taken seriously by your mind. You have to reach a point of like, oh, maybe I'm not this. Oh, what the fuck? How could that be? Who could I be then? Who could I be? That's the point you want to reach. That's where true self-inquiry begins. Until then, you're just doing mental masturbation. Also, open yourself to the possibility that you are not an object. This is really hard to do. Because even if you think like, well, okay, maybe I'm not the body. Maybe I'm some energy spirit thing. I have some kind of aura, or I'm a software in the mind or whatever. You're still thinking of yourself fundamentally as objects. See, you're just substituting one object for another object. What's really radical is to say, maybe I'm not even any of that. Maybe I'm in a completely different domain from objects. What could that domain even be? Because all I know is objects. There's no other domain I've ever experienced. How do I access this new domain? I have no idea. Good. Now you're exactly where you need to be. Keep going down that road. And lastly, just remember that nothing is hidden. This has been very helpful for me. Because sometimes I sit down and it's like, it feels like I'm looking for something, you know, some secret Easter egg. Where is it? And then I remember, oh, wait a minute, nothing is hidden. This thing I'm looking for, myself, me, this empty field of awareness, it's here right now. Right now, as I'm talking to you, it's here. Right here, I'm talking about it right now. It's occurring right now. It can never not occur. It doesn't matter whether you're in a meditative state, you're having a good day, a bad day, whether your mom died, or whether you lost your foot in a car accident. It doesn't matter. In all of those situations, you're still there. The true you is still there. The true you is always there. It was there before you were born. It'll be there when you die, when your body dies. That's how permanent it is. But it feels kind of hidden because it's very humble. This thing is very humble. It doesn't draw a lot of attention to itself. And your mind is filled with so many delusions about it, so many fantasies and ideas, that you really have to let all that stuff go through a gradual purging process, which is what self-inquiry is designed to do. So when you get lost and you think something is hidden, just remember, it's right there in front of your nose. You're it always, and especially right now. That's it. Go ahead, please click the like button for me. Post your comments down below. Share this episode with a friend. And lastly, come check out actualize.org. This is my website. I just released a forum for you guys. I wanted a resource that would really help you to self-actualize and take your development to the next level. The forum isn't for me. It's for you. It's your sandbox. You can come in there. We've already got over 1,000 people there. People who are really interested in self-actualization, who really value it. These kinds of people can be hard to find, but you can find them in this forum. You can get advice and tips and techniques for how to improve your meditations, how to do better self-inquiry. All this enlightenment stuff can be discussed there. We have great discussions about it there. Sometimes I post answers there. You can also discuss more mundane things like, how do you get a better career? How do you become more successful, more money, dating advice, all this kind of stuff. You can discuss it there as well. So I'm really excited about the potential of this forum. So come check it out. And sign up to the actualize.org newsletter. It's a free newsletter. Keeps you up to date. Keeps you on track. What I can promise you is that if you watch my weekly videos, you listen to what I tell you, and you do this for a course of a couple of years, your entire perspective on life is going to transform in an amazing, radical way. Ways you wouldn't have imagined possible. And this will enable you to get that kind of fulfillment that you want from life, that otherwise you will not be able to get. And it'll also allow you to reach levels of success that you thought were impossible for you. It's all right here. And all it really requires is just kind of like a weekly commitment. Just, you know, watch one per week. Watch a couple hundred of them over the next couple of years. You'll hear stuff here that you won't hear anywhere else. My approach to personal development is very deep. All right, I want to take you to the root of all your issues and neuroses and problems in life. Not just the surface stuff, but really to the root. And that's going to be mind-blowing for you. When you taste some of the stuff that I talk about for yourself, I'm really excited about it. So sign up, stay tuned, and I'll see you soon.